Thank you, young men. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1 this morning. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Sunday week ago, we began a study on the issue of answering, why do we celebrate Christmas? Why do we celebrate Christians? Why should we, as Bible-believing Christians, set time aside and celebrate Christmas? Here in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18, please. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It reads, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." And please go to Matthew chapter 2, please. Matthew chapter 2. Verses 1 to 4. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. "And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we bless you and praise you for your unconditional love. And we're thankful that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We ask now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would quicken our minds and help us to have attentive and responsive hearts to your eternal word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. We noted a week before last in answering the question, why should we celebrate Christmas? From the life of the angelic beings and the shepherds there in Luke chapter 1, the Bible gives us that we are to celebrate Christmas because it's a timely reminder of the benefit of salvation that God has provided for the whole world. For those angelic beings said to the shepherds, "For this day is born in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." So as we celebrate Christmas, it's a timely reminder for us to be thankful for the greatest benefit provided for mankind, which is the forgiveness of sin. And my friend, this morning, that is your greatest need, the forgiveness of sin. And you might say, "Well, Pastor, will that solve all my problems?" Well, it won't solve all of your problems, but it will take care of your greatest problem, which is called sin. And your need to be reconciled back to the Creator of the universe. And we celebrate Christmas that we might be reminded of the fact that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin and came into this sin-cursed earth in order to provide redemption for all mankind. And the angelic being said to that group of shepherds minding their own business, caring for their sheep, said, "There is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." So we as Bible-believing Christians, we celebrate Christmas because it's a wonderful opportunity for us to be reminded of the fact that the benefit of salvation is available for the whole world. And then the Bible goes on to teach there in Luke chapter 1 that the shepherds, upon hearing that message, went and sought out for themselves this Saviour. And upon witnessing the Saviour of the world, the Bible teaches us that they went abroad and proclaimed the glad tidings. And another reason why we celebrate Christmas as Bible-believing Christians is simply because it gives us an opportunity to witness about the coming Saviour. That's what the shepherds did when they witnessed the birth of the Saviour, the promised Saviour of the world. And they placed their faith in this Saviour. They went abroad and proclaimed that message. And during this Christmas season, we have an opportunity to proclaim that message. Oh yes, we have to proclaim it 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But during the Christmas season, this is an open door for you and I to proclaim that message with enthusiasm. And that's what the shepherds did. Now, Christmas time for many can be a very confusing time, a distracting time. For some, it's Christmas time is all about holidays. There are many people that are very secular in their mindset. They don't give a Christmas greeting as such, like Merry Christmas. But they'll make statements like, have a safe and enjoyable holiday. That's Christmas to them. That's that secular mentality. For others, Christmas time is a very commercial time. People spend a lot of money on materialism, and it's a very commercial time. It's business. For some, Christmas time is a religious time, when many give God their quota of religion for the year by attending possibly a carol service or a Christmas service. They give their two bob to God during Christmas time. So for many, it's their one and only religious time. But also surrounding Christmas, it's also a time of falsehood and paganism. The propagation of Santa Claus, for example, is just a lie from the devil. So there's falsehood, there's paganism, there's commercialism, there's religion, there's a secular mentality, it's all out there, and we as Bible-believing Christians are at war with all the above, are we not? And there is an underlying tension between Bible-believing Christians and non-Christians concerning what Christmas is really all about. Now Jesus Christ said, no man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or vice versa. And because of all these distractions during this time of the year, I believe that more so we as Bible-believing Christians need to work out why we celebrate Christmas and do so with passion. Because there's the opposition of falsehood, and there's the opposition of religion, and there's the opposition of commercialism, and there's the opposition of just the secular mindset that makes no reference to what Christmas is all about. So we as Bible-believing Christians need to be proactive, so to speak, and celebrate with passion Christmas. Because if we don't celebrate Christmas and give Christmas its true emphasis, then where will be the witness of Jesus Christ during this time of the year? And this is a opportune time for you and I to proclaim Christ and Him crucified. The Apostle Paul said, I'm now ready to preach the gospel, there in Romans chapter 1. And as he was desiring to go to the city of Rome, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So the Apostle Paul was prepared, if God had would so open up the opportunity to go to Rome and preach the gospel, he was ready to go. And beloved, this morning I'd like to encourage you during this Christmas season, I trust that you are, that you've been going and you will continue to be going and proclaiming Christ. Because this is what Christmas is really all about. And we as Bible-believing Christians need to awaken out of our sleep and preach Christ in every open door that God gives to us. And during this Christmas season, this is an open door to proclaim Christ and Him crucified. Christmas is not about Santa Claus. Christmas is not about doing a whole lot of shopping and getting all the bargains. Christmas is not about just having a great holiday. Christmas is about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Oh yes, we enjoy time together as family. We express our love one with another by giving gifts. But the whole emphasis of Christmas is all about Christ. Note there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 22 and 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 22 and 23. The Apostle Paul said, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. For this I do, for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." So the Apostle Paul, in essence, was simply saying, listen, I will take every given opportunity to proclaim Christ. Every open door that God provides before me, I will seek to seize that opportunity and proclaim Christ. And the Apostle Paul did so. The Apostle Paul took every given opportunity to proclaim Christ. And this included going into the synagogues and being a Jew. He knew how the services were run within the synagogue, and he understood the fact that there would be readings, and with these readings there were opportunity for people to make statements and discuss the readings, and he saw that as an opportunity to point people to the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. That as the Old Testament scriptures were read within the Jewish synagogue, he seized the opportunity to proclaim Christ and Him crucified. And beloved, this morning I'd like to encourage you, seize the opportunity to proclaim Christ and Him crucified. And we as Bible-believing Christians, we remember the birth of our Savior. It's recorded there in Matthew chapter 1 for a reason. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. And as we do so, we are remembering the benefit of salvation. It also gives us an opportunity to proclaim Christ as the shepherds did. But thirdly, this morning I'd like to note the principle of worship. The wise men celebrated the birth of Christ by worshipping Him. And here in Matthew chapter 2, please, if you would turn back there, the Bible teaches us that a group of wise men entered Jerusalem asking the question, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" These men wanted to worship. And the Bible teaches us there in Matthew chapter 2 verse number 3 that when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled. Now why was he troubled? Let me tell you why he was troubled. Because as Herod, he believed he was the king. And he demanded worship. So he as he heard the cry of these wise men, where is he that is born King of the Jews? He was troubled, not that he didn't have an answer, though he didn't have an answer. He was troubled by the fact here are these men seeking to worship somebody besides me. See? That's why he was troubled. Because back within the biblical setting, a Roman Empire, a Herod, a Caesar, was seen as God himself. He was worshipped, he was to be honoured, he was to be revered as if he is God himself. That's why he was troubled. This one that is born King of the Jews is in opposition. May I submit to you, my friend, this morning, the Herods of this world are in opposition and are wanting your worship and are trying to draw your heart away from worshipping the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So down through history there's been this battle between whom do we worship? And these wise men, as they approach Jerusalem, they ask the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And because Herod had no answers, he said to these men, when you find him, note then verse number 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. Now Herod was lying through his teeth. That rotten scoundrel, he had no desire to worship the King of Kings. He was going to kill him because he was king. He was God. So he lied through his teeth to these wise men and said, when you found him, come and tell me that I might also come and worship him. That wasn't true. That wasn't true. Then the Bible goes on to teach then, verse 9 please, and when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And note verse number 11, when they were come into the house, and they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The wise men celebrated the birth of Christ by worshipping him, though they were a little bit late for his birthday party. Because here in verse number 11, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is no longer a babe lying in a manger, he is a young child in a house with Mary his mother. But yet, even though they were a little bit late to remember the birth of Christ and celebrate his birth on his birthday, they still honored him by worshiping him. The Bible teaches us here in verse number 11, and worshiped him. This is another reason why we celebrate Christmas as Bible-believing Christians. Because we have the opposition of the Herods of this world that are after our worship. And we worship Jesus Christ, our Lord, our King. And during this Christmas season, this is a wonderful opportunity. For it's there within our calendar, Christmas Day, for all to witness. And thank God for our Judeo-Christian heritage as a nation. We are a Christian nation, in principle, not necessarily in practice. We are a Christian nation in principle. And I thank God that Christmas Day is recognized in our nation. So we have an opportunity to worship our Lord and give worship to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and not worship as the world does the Herods of this world. They worshipped him. Now to worship means to show worth or value or to bow down before. So Christmas, I celebrate Christmas because the Bible teaches on that Jesus Christ was born. And the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. And Christmas to me is an opportunity for me to reflect upon the benefit of salvation. Christmas time is an opportunity for us to proclaim the message. But also Christmas time is another opportunity to just focus upon worshipping, not materialism. Not vacations, but worshipping Jesus Christ. We have been created in the image of God, therefore we are made to worship. And Christmas gives us an opportunity to worship the one who is worthy of our worship. And the Lord Jesus said to Satan there in Matthew chapter 4 verse 10 that you will worship God and worship God alone. God is worthy of our worship. And because of all the distractions that we find in the world, and boy, how easy it is to get distracted. You can say amen. How easy it is to get distracted. And some of you are distracted right now. You're not listening to me. Your mind's 10 miles away. Come on, come back to where it's really at, beloved. I'm trying to remind you that Christmas is all about worship. It's not about your holidays. It's not about presents. It's not about Santa Claus. It's about Christ. And we as people need to be brought back to the basics that we are created in the image of God to worship the King of Kings. Amen. Amen. How can we possibly worship God? Well, there in John chapter 4, please. John chapter 4 verse 24, Jesus Christ said, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In order for you and I to worship God, then there needs to be the presence of the Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 3 verse 8, the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus that you need to be born again. You need to be born of the Spirit. You cannot worship God unless you have the Holy Spirit. Because God is Spirit. So how can a unspiritual, an individual that has no Spirit, worship God who is in Spirit? See, worship is not about attending a service. And taking your seat in a service. And singing a few hymns. And just listening to this loud preacher yelling at you. My friend, if you have not the Spirit of God, you cannot worship. You are just being religious. Because Jesus said, God is Spirit. And those that worship Him must worship Him in Spirit. Do you have the Spirit of God? Do you have the Spirit of God? Well, how do we receive the Spirit of God, Pastor? Well, the Bible teaches you need salvation. You need forgiveness. And Jesus Christ died on an old rugged cross. That's why He was born. He was born to die.
And he was buried. Then on day number 3, he arose from the dead. And he provides redemption for all of mankind. He provides the forgiveness of sin. And my friend, if you will receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, the Spirit of God will quicken you, make you alive, quicken your dead spirit, and He will move in and live within you. And from that point on, you better worship God. See? It's a fallacy to think that a person just going into the church building is worship. Jesus said, in spirit and in truth, biblical truth, in harmony with the Word of God. And this is what these men did here in Matthew chapter 2. They worshipped. Now go back to Matthew chapter 2, verse number 11, please. So Christmas is a wonderful opportunity for you and I to worship. And I'm afraid that even God's people get so distracted. May I say to you, to some of you this morning, you are distracted. Your brain is not here. You are here in body, but your brain is not here. And I challenge that this morning. And I'm challenging you this morning to get back to what Christmas is really all about. A Savior. And if you're getting absolutely stressed out about this and that, and it really has nothing to do with what Christmas is really all about, may I submit to you, God will not be offended if you just set that aside. And focus upon the main thing, which is to worship Christ. And these wise men, they went out of their way. Now, we're not told how long it took for them to reach baby Jesus. In fact, the Bible does not even teach us were Joseph and Mary and child Jesus still in Bethlehem? Were they still there? Or did they go back to Jerusalem? But some 2 years have passed. So up to 2 years have passed and the wise men finally find the Christ as a child in a house. They bow down and worship Him. Note then verse number 11. Just a couple of little principles on how we can worship effectively. If it's Christmas season, is an opportunity for you and I to worship. Well, Pastor, how can we do so effectively? Well, you can begin by making sure that you have the Spirit of God. If you have not the Spirit of God, then you are none of His. It's by the presence of God's Spirit we can worship God who is Spirit. In spirit and in truth. And as we, the truth of the Word of God. And let's note in verse number 11, a couple of principles about worship that were evident in the life of these men. There were 3 gifts that were given, but the Bible does not say that there were 3 wise men. There could have been 10. There could have been just 2. There could have been 100. But there were 3 main gifts that were given. See? So put away that rotten theology that you used to have and just believe the Bible. There were wise men. There were a group of men. They gave 3 different gifts, but we're not told there were 3 of them. There could have been 10 of them. And note then verse number 11. Note that little word, or 2 little words, were come into. Were come. These men went to Christ. Now, no doubt these men were men of wealth and influence because Herod took note But as they rode into Jerusalem and said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" he took note. It wasn't just some little beggar going off his face saying, "Where is Jesus?" No, these men were men of wealth and men of influence. And the Bible teaches us they went to Jesus Christ. They travelled. Now we're not told how long. Now from Jerusalem to Bethlehem was not far. It was no more than 20 kilometres. It wasn't far at all. The Lord was born in Bethlehem. Is he still in Bethlehem at this stage? We're not told. But up to a period of 2 years transpires, and the Bible teaches us that these men go out of their way to find the Christ and to worship him. And they demonstrated their faith in the Saviour by doing so. As they were no doubt exposed to the Old Testament scriptures, they could see that this is the promised Saviour. And they placed their faith in him, and the Bible teaches us that they went to him. They were come. And my friend, may I submit to you, if you want to really worship God, then you need to come to God God's way. So these men could have stood back and said, "Well, you know, we're important people. We've got gold, frankincense, myrrh. We're people of influence." They could have sent some couriers out to find that Jesus and get his parents to bring him to me. Because they had that influence. They had that word. But no, they went to him. And my friend, if you're not a Christian here this morning, let me encourage you, stop trying to do it your own way. God's salvation is received by faith alone, not by works. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by, according to his mercy, he saves us. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." We receive Jesus Christ by faith. We worship God by faith. They came to him. We don't worship God by bowing down to idols or statues. God is spirit. We worship God in spirit. By faith. That's how we worship Jesus Christ. By faith we worship him. We see him who is invisible. We receive Christ by faith. We worship God by faith. We live out our lives by faith, not by sight. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. They came to Jesus. They were prepared to go out of their way to come to Jesus Christ. And my friend, if we are to effectively worship Jesus Christ as Bible-believing Christians, you need to be willing to do it God's way. Much talk today about worship. And there is this common mindset today that, well, you know, it doesn't really matter how. As long as you are. Well, that's not true. Because Jesus Christ teaches us we worship God in spirit and in truth. So there are parameters, there are guidelines. They went out of their way to worship by faith. So we worship God effectively by faith. Secondly, this morning, I'd like for us to note concerning our worship. Look at verse number 11 once again. It reads that they fell down and worshipped him. They fell down. That's submission. These men were submissive. Wealthy men. Men of influence. They fell down. They worshipped him. Now I'm just trying to envision this. A knock on the door. Mary opens the door. And no doubt the men would have said to this effect, we're looking for the King of the Jews. And no doubt Mary allowed them in as it was the custom. Wonderful Middle Eastern custom to be hospitable. Come on in. And as they walked in, and there was Jesus Christ as a child. We're not told what he was doing. He might have been playing Lego. They fell down and worshipped him. And I can imagine Mary looking on and think, wow. Wow. And I can assure you that as Mary looked at the apparel, and as Mary no doubt took note of what they had with them, and she noted these men just submitting and worshipping Jesus Christ. May I submit to you, my friend, that worship is all about submission. The opposite of pride. Pride leads to destruction. And some of you are in trouble this morning because your heart is full of pride. And I'd like to encourage you this morning, come to the Christ and bow before Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth, in submission. So worship involves faith. Worship involves faith in all that Jesus Christ is. Worship involves submission. In James 4:6, the Bible teaches us that God gives grace to the humble. My friend, the ability to worship God is there when you and I, like these men of old, fell down and worshipped Him. A spirit of submission. Where are you at this morning? Are you standing up or bowing down in heart towards Jesus Christ? And last but not least, note there in verse number 11, they presented unto Him gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They presented unto Him valuable items. Enough to make a person very wealthy. And these gifts were an expression of their hearts of sacrifice, a heart of wanting to give. They demonstrated their value for Jesus Christ by sacrificially giving to Him. My friend, may I submit to you that in Genesis chapter 22, verse number 5, the first mention of the word worship, listen to me, if you've been half asleep, now's the time to wake up. Alright, you awake now? Talk to me. The first mention of the word worship is made as Abraham prepared to sacrificially sacrifice his son. And he said to the servants, I and the lad go yonder to worship. To worship. Abraham understood that worship is about sacrificial giving. And when you and I worship, worship in spirit and in truth, needs to be sacrifice. Sacrifice. The Bible teaches us that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Sacrificial giving. These men not only went out of their way, by faith, followed that star. We're not told how long it took, but he's no longer in a manger. He's no longer a babe. Where was he? We don't know, but they persevered. And by faith they found him. And my friend, by faith you will find Jesus Christ this morning. Not by works, by faith alone. And let me encourage you, as you have found him, for those of you that have found him, let's submit. And let's sacrificially give our lives to him. Our God does not need our possessions. And we are not helping God by thinking that God needs me because of my possessions. No, he does not. It's a proven scientific fact, the richest people in the world are the most stingiest people in the world. God doesn't need your possessions, God wants your life. God wants your life, beloved. God wants you to present your body a living sacrifice unto him. He just wants you. Sacrificial giving. Does God have you? Many of us are just plain old hypocrites this morning. You came in one way and you will leave the same way. You've convinced yourself, you've given God his quota for Sunday morning and off you go. And you just go on and carry on doing your own thing. May I submit to you, my friend, you're a rotten hypocrite. Thank you, Pastor. Pleasure. You're a rotten hypocrite. And you haven't worshipped. You haven't worshipped. Worship is all about sacrificial giving. Worship is all about submission. And beloved, during this Christmas season, may God remind us that it's all about Christ. And he wants you. Stop being a hypocrite. Give God your life. Oh, but Pastor, I'm not sure what he's going to do with me. It's okay. Relax. It'll be all right. God will look after you. Amen. The happiest place to be is in the center of God's will. And you and I need to sacrifice our lives to him. And some of you are struggling spiritually, and some of you are getting nowhere spiritually, and some of you are going around in circles and circles and circles, and you're wasting time, you're wasting time, you're wasting time. And God's saying this morning, surrender. Stop playing games with me. Are you listening to me? Christmas is all about Christ. Worship. Worship. And we see within the life of these men how we can worship. They sought Christ by faith. They submitted. They gave. There you go. Take and worship the Lord. You don't need to go to Hillsong to work out how to worship. Alright? I wouldn't waste your time. What a bunch of gobbledygook, a disgrace to the name of Jesus Christ. And they are preaching another gospel. But I'm telling you, there's nothing complicated. The Bible teaches us we worship God in spirit and in truth. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Well, then let's worship God in truth. And as we study the men of the Scriptures and the people of God in the Scriptures, we don't see it as anything too complicated. These men went out of their way by faith and they submitted and they gave. There you go. There's worship. Let's worship Christ this Christmas. Let's bow for prayer.